Well, good evening. It's great to be here. Let's pray and ask for God just to open his word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is living and active. We want to be changed. Help us not to miss the one thing tonight. Amen. Do keep your Bibles open at that passage, and we're going to be dipping into it. Choices. Choices every day bombard us. Lots. Do you turn to Netflix or Prime? It's a big decision, isn't it? Marvel or DC? Football or rugby? Well, that's an easy one. But do you come to church or do you stay at home? They're difficult decisions in this day and age. Do you know what? Some sources suggest that over 35,000 choices are made per day, and that's assuming that we sleep for 7 hours and that there aren't many choices to be made during that time. That's about 2,000 decisions per hour, or one decision every 2 seconds. And we know that our days are numbered. So the question of what you do with time that you cannot get back again is really important. And I want to suggest that it's not only what you do, but actually there's what you don't do. It's part and parcel of the equation too. You see, there are always better choices. But is it the best choice? Our no's give value to our yeses. By saying no to something, it allows us to do something else. Or our yeses mean no to lots of other things. Choices. And it's not always a good versus bad choice. We face choices from good and better. It's more complicated than that. It's not all chocolate or Brussels sprouts, which is easy because it's Brussels sprouts every time, isn't it? Especially with a bit of cream. Oh, lovely. Well, today, Jesus is going to make it easy for you. There's one thing, one point, one thing, it is going to be made as simple as possible. The question is whether you're going to miss that one thing. Are you going to even choose that one thing today? Look back over the 24 hours that we've just had. What would be the one thing that was definitely in that 24 hours? In fact, actually, what's in your 24 hours each and every day? What is that? What's the one thing? The one thing. Is it family? Is it food? Is it good things? What is the one thing that gets you up in the morning? What's the one thing that fits into your day, or at least everything else fits around it? Well, as we go into Luke 10, I want to suggest that your day is wasted if you haven't got this one thing in it. In fact, actually, your life is wasted if you miss this one thing. This one thing's not going to be global warming. It's not going to be. They're all great things, sharing wealth, rich and poor nations. There are lots of good things out there. But Jesus is going to take us to that one thing. Luke 10. But I'm going to give you a bit of a context because I think it helps us to get to that place, that one thing that we cannot miss, because Luke has written an orderly account, hasn't he? He's actually put things in a pattern so that we can see where they're going. And I think even next week's sermon helps us and fulfills our one thing. Do you remember that I preached a couple of weeks ago? We were talking about sending out the 72. What was the key that meant that you would stay there, you'd stay at a house, or that you'd kind of shake the dust from your feet and move? What was the one thing? The one thing when you went around, the 72 sent out, what was the one thing? This is the interactive part when people respond. One thing. Did you not listen to the... Well, anyway, that hospitality was key. If they open their home to you, go there, stay there. Do you remember hospitality was key? If people are willing to welcome you into their house and their home, then do it. Don't flip from place to place, go stay there. And we're going to see that today. Okay, we're going to see that fulfillment. Jesus sent his disciples out, 72 of them, the others, to go and find places, and this is one of those places. So we should expect this scenario. And as we go there, let's look at Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. This hospitality is happening. Jesus said it would, and it is. It's amazing. And in this context, just before, do you remember last week, Stephen spoke to us about the parable of the Good Samaritan. What was the point of the Good Samaritan? It's about us not limiting our love to just the lovely people, but actually we are to love our neighbor, and our neighbor, well, that can be anybody. And if it's a Samaritan, it includes Jews. And if it's a Jew, it includes Samaritans. It includes everyone. We are to love our neighbor. But I want to suggest that there are problems with the one thing, because there are lots of other things that get in the way of our one thing. And that's verse 39. Let's have a look. Martha had a sister called Mary, and Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, Lord, don't you care? My sister, don't you care my sister's left me to do the work? That hospitality that we're showing to you, that you were expecting and we're showing. It's the reason why you picked our house and home. We've got the best cakes. We've got an open door. We want to hear what you've got to say. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. I confess today, I've heard lots of tell him to help me in the Ashworth household as we removed all our furniture around. Do you do that sometimes? It's because you can see all the exciting things under the sofa. Do you know what I mean? It's great. But that kind of cry of he's not helping me. He's on the Xbox. Tell them to help me. Of course, the answer is, does Jesus care? Of course he cares. Jesus cares. We know that. And yes, he's told us about hospitality and the importance of it. And yes, Jesus will want us to pull our weight. Because he's the servant king. He's come to serve. And he wants us to follow him. But there's the shocker. Have you spotted the shocker in this story? Instead of Jesus saying, yes, you're right. You're right. Martha, let me have a word with Mary. And she'll go in the kitchen and help you put on a fantastic spread. We get the shock of the story. That's not what Jesus says. I don't know about you, but hospitality is one of those things that we do. And we've discovered over time, with regards to hospitality, we used to do it one way and we do it another way now. In the Ashworth household, Lorna and I, we used to stress ourselves out and work out how to make the most perfect meal. If you ever come around our house, you know that is just destined for failure. Absolute failure in the Ashworth household. It's not that we can't cook, but the stress that's involved. Because you always pick something that you've never done before because you kind of want to push the boat out, don't you? And therefore you invite them around and then it's just really stressy because you're not too sure. Because your oven's kind of held together with screws. And that's where the seal is. You're not quite too sure whether it's true to the timing or not, or all that kind of business. And so actually you're there, you're popping in, you're popping out. That's lovely. I'm popping in, I'm popping out, just making sure that it's not burnt. I'm popping in, I'm popping out, and making sure that everything's sorted. Do you know what? The Lord gave us a gift, and it was the raclette. Have you ever come across a raclette? It is the greatest answer to ministry. What you do is you put this hot plate, donk, on the middle of the table. You put your cold meats and whatever you want to fry or grill, and you sit and you can talk to people all evening. You can burn your food, doesn't matter. But actually, the most important thing is that you spend your time with the other person and not popping in, popping out, popping in, popping out. Well, there's no raclette in this story, but actually it does highlight the one thing that is important. There comes a time when sometimes our service gets in the way of our relationship with our Saviour. Our service gets in the way of our relationship with our Saviour. Do you remember the expert in the law that we had a couple of weeks ago? Again, that was the beginning of the Good Samaritan conversation. What is it that's written in the law, O expert of the law? You're the teacher. Come on, tell us. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. And then they ask the question, well, who is my neighbour? Did you notice that actually the most important part of his reply was basically ignored? The loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is really where the question should have finished. Rather than taking us on a rabbit trail as to who is my neighbour, important as it is, but do we truly love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? I came across a poem. Do you have your top 10 of poems? Do you? I don't. I have my bottom 10 of poems. I'm not a great fan of poems, but sometimes you come across poems that you really don't like. Do you do that? It's like movies. What are the movies you're never going to watch ever again? Oh, I have a few poems, but this one particularly is down there because it just is wrong and rubs the wrong way. Let me read to you this poem. It's by a guy called Lee Hunt, and it's called Abu Ben Adhem. Abu basically wakes, and he sees an angel at the end of his bed, and the angel is writing in his book, and he sees the book, man, and you're there kind of going, great. He knows what it is. It's the book of life. And he asks the angel, is my name written on the book? And the angel answers, no. It's not in the book. Your name is not there in the book. Well, the man was, Abu was not perturbed. He carried on and said, well, if my name's not in the book, well, at least I love my neighbour. At least I love my fellow man. And the next night, the angel came with awakening light and showed the names whom love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adhem's name led all the rest. Basically, the poem says, you can miss out the loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just love your neighbour as yourself. We live in a world where that's how so many of our neighbours want to live. Even in the pandemic, their focus has been, at least we love our neighbours. The question is this, have they missed the one thing? Have they missed that just one thing? That one thing that basically means you've missed the point of life. You've missed the point of each and every day. You've missed the point. You see, people will say, I've got no time for Jesus, but can I still go to heaven? God, you might have sent your son to die for me, but can I come in? And we're going to see that the one thing is the one thing, and it pushes even good things out of the way. Do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? We live in a world where we can get caught up as Martha did. It's a world of Marthas. Worried, annoyed. Others are not serving. Others are not serving Jesus as I'm serving. They're not doing the hard work. They're not signing up for every list. They're not busy like me. But the question is this, actually, good things as they may be, have they got their priorities right? And is the one thing the one thing? the one thing. Because we will need to say no to some things to ensure that the one thing is the one thing. Verse 41, Martha, 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 Martha. And I hear the Mark, Mark. Just, you're so busy sometimes. So busy doing all those things. Busy serving, doing. But don't forget the one thing. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. He's the one who is the server. And what's he done? He's given us salvation. So we need to listen to him and sit at his feet like a disciple would do. Do we do that? What's the one thing that you've got in your diary tomorrow? And does it look like sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him, delighting in him, standing each and every day, trusting in him for salvation and for life? Well, that's the one thing. The one thing. Verse 42. Few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, of course, we can mention that what was Mary doing on Jesus' feet? A woman being in a disciple pose, listening to what Jesus had to say. That would have indeed been a shocker in the culture of the day, but it doesn't matter. The question is, will you be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you sit at his feet? Is the one thing that you will do today, tomorrow, every day of your life, is the one thing that you're going to tell everybody else is the most important thing in their life? Will you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you put your trust and life in his hands? Does that take priority in your day? Or is it busyness? So, Mark, you're so busy. You're so busy. So busy working for Jesus that you're not listening to Jesus. You're not loving Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're just busy for him. The one thing must be the one thing. And do you know what? Satan's going to give you loads of good things. It means that you just don't do the one thing and you don't delight in the Lord. Well, I want to suggest that we spend a moment just thinking, what is our day today? What is our day tomorrow look like? How can we ensure that the one thing is the one thing that actually takes prime place in our life? I find it helpful if I start my day reading the Bible and praying. I find it helpful if I finish the day reading and praying. I don't do it every day, and I feel worse for it. But each and every day, do we ensure we keep coming back to the feet of Jesus, our Lord and Savior? That loving our neighbor is massively important. But actually, we need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Will we listen to him today? If you want to have a bit of a challenge, why don't you turn to someone that you come with in your bubble and go, if you said that I had one thing that captured my heart, would it be Jesus? Actually, will Jesus be the one thing in my life? Does that show? And that challenge that we have. Well, I said that next week, I'm not going to preach next week's sermon, but the Lord's Prayer takes us into that intimacy with Jesus. That's what comes next in Luke's Gospel. Maybe you can this week, in anticipation of being reminded of the Lord's Prayer, maybe we could this week just start with the Lord's Prayer. Just start with a prayer. Start with intimacy with Christ. Start with pushing everything else out and saying no. Start with the one thing. Our discipleship with Jesus Christ must come first. Let us sit at his feet today, tomorrow, and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Mary's example. We know that we slip into being Martha's, but we ask that you would remind us that our relationship with you is the one thing that will set us right each and every day. Help us today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. Keep coming back to you, delighting in you, loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, listening to you, and living for you, not just working for you. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.